You are listening to The Brain Song with DJ Frogs, the world's most unlikely DJ with the world's worst microphone, on Spirit Plants Radio, broadcasting around the world at spiritplantsradio.com. Turn on, tune in, and visit us on the web at spiritplantsradio.com for schedules, playlists, archives and more. And this is The Crazy World of Arthur Brown and the Spontaneous Apple Creation.
When the world was traveling faster and faster, till colors became just a blur, and the buildings were falling plaster from plaster, till things just weren't what they were. What could save mankind from man when the blind?
Look out, here come the fleas.
The light on the stair, you just care, you better beware, or I might take a tumble. Go get a job, stop being a slob, go earn a few bucks, and I'll give you a kiss.
That was Here Come the Fleas by White Noise, recorded in 1969 before the Moog synthesizer had arrived, and containing more edits in 2 minutes than the Beatles managed in the whole of Sgt. Pepper's. Here's something that I suspect has even more edits than that.
Hitherto we have never set ourselves to the deliberate creation of words.
It is only a step.
But all living languages have grown slowly, haphazard,
that exist in the mind.
Therefore, language cannot grow otherwise.
You say to me,
at present,
why do you decide
when we want to say anything above the level of a geometrical definition, we are obliged to do conjuring tricks with sounds, associations, etc. Therefore, this necessity is inherent in the nature of words. The non sequitur is
obvious, etc.
And notice that when I suggest to say abstract anything above the level of when we I am only suggesting an extension of our present practice.
To do
for we do now coin concrete words.
We are naming.
Aeroplanes
therefore,
and bicycles are invented, and we invent names for them. Which is the natural thing to
bicycles
do.
Are invented.
It is only a step to coining names for the now unnamed things that exist in the mind.
Is.
You say to me,
this
why do you dislike Mr.
Like
Smith?
Most of the argument
and I say, because he is a liar, say, or a coward.
Is a long-winded way of saying
and I am almost certainly giving the wrong reason.
Coin.
In my own mind, the answer runs,
hitherto we have never set
because he is an X kind of man.
Of words.
X standing for something which I understand
man.
And you would understand
all living languages
if I could tell it
slowly and haphazard.
Why not find
in
a name
mind,
for
the
X?
Answer runs, tell
the only difficulty is to agree about what
language
we are naming.
Grow otherwise.
I'm Penny Sartori, and I'm a staff nurse at the intensive therapy unit in Morrison Hospital, Swansea. I've been studying near-death experiences for a PhD at the University of Wales in Lampeter for the past 6 years. I decided to research near-death experiences simply because of all the death that I encountered while working as a nurse in ITU. Very often, it's not uncommon to have two or three deaths on every shift that I work, and as a result, it made me wonder what happens when we die. We're at the intensive therapy unit at Morrison Hospital, Swansea, where I did my research. At each patient's bedside, there's a monitor, and this monitor is mounted on the wall. And in one way of verifying the out-of-body experience was to place cards on top of these monitors with symbols on. These cards were brightly coloured to attract attention, and they were above head height, and they were also concealed behind ridges, so that the only way someone could see these ridges was by having an out-of-body experience. And this was one way of confirming if the experience was real or if it was just a mind model. In the 5 years of the research, there were 8 patients that actually had an out-of-body experience. Now, not all of these patients rose high enough out of their body to view the symbols. Some of them claimed to float in opposite directions to where the symbols were situated. And one man in particular just said to me, well, I wasn't looking for it. If you'd have told me beforehand, I'd have looked for it and I'd have seen it. was looking after him at the time, and I can say that he was completely unconscious during this time. His eyes were closed throughout, except for a brief moment when the doctor did check his pupils with a pupil torch to see if they were reacting. And when he came to and revived later on, he described to me exactly what I had done and exactly what the doctor had done and exactly what the people around the bedside had done. And what he described was extremely accurate.
The out-of-body experience can be something that can happen to someone at any time. And it's actually quite a common experience. Around about 20 to 30% of the population will report that at some time they've had an out-of-body experience. What actually is perhaps happening here is that when people are going through everyday life, they always have a kind of model of who they are and where they are within the environment and what's happening to them. And that model is based upon two different sources of information. On the one hand, we've got bottom-up processing, the sensory input, and top-down processing, your knowledge of the world. And you need both of these to make sense of where you are. Now, under certain circumstances, and particularly when the sensory input is perhaps degraded in some way, it may well be that the mind adopts a model of reality in which the top-down influences become much stronger, and they're not being corrected by the sensory input because that's been degraded in some way. Under those circumstances, we may well adopt a model of reality which is actually based upon imagination and memory, and yet it won't feel like that. It will feel as if that is reality. Now, if you think back in memory, say, to a holiday you've been on, people often report seeing themselves as if from above, and that indicates that memory is not like a video player. It's not an accurate replay of what you're actually experiencing at the time. It's a constructive process. Other aspects of the near-death experience can again be explained in physiological terms. So, for example, the great sense of peace which people experience may reflect the release of endorphins. Endorphins are a natural brain chemical which is released at times of stress. Then obviously if you feel you're near to death, that's exactly that kind of experience. The amazing sense of peace and the sense that one is kind of entirely comfortable with one's surroundings could again be explained in terms of the release of this particular brain chemical.
My name's Jeanette Atkinson, and I'm a second-year student nurse. I was 18 years old and I collapsed early hours of the morning of the 25th of January, 1979. And got me into hospital, and that's where they diagnosed that I had multiple deep vein thrombosis, which is lots of blood clots in my calf, and seven pulmonary embolisms, which are blood clots in the lungs. They weren't expecting me to survive. And the day that it all happened, all I could see was from my chest downwards. I then started floating up to the ceiling and looking at me in bed, and I looked asleep, and I went looking at other patients. I had to look at the dust on top of the strip lighting that they had, and was moaning bitterly to myself that nobody had been up there to clean it. And I went over to the nurse's station, and a nurse was sitting there doing some writing, and she had her chin cupped in her hand. And then the light changed. There was sort of a fuzziness in the ward. And As it went pitch black, I realised I was in a tunnel with a corkscrew effect that was turning. And at the bottom of this tunnel were some lights, and it was like holding a child's kaleidoscope up to the window and looking out of it. It was absolutely magnificent. And I thought, boy, I want to go to those lights. And the draw to those lights was so strong. And I nearly got there. And then a voice said to me, "Come on, you silly old cow, it's not your turn yet." And with that, I was back in my body in pain, couldn't breathe. I believe I had a crash team round me, which is an emergency resuscitation team.
There's real world photodynamic therapy. PDT.
LAPDT.
PLA.
Tiny spot.
It may seem odd, the hair of the dog.
There has been the argument for many centuries about where human nature comes from, what it really is, how it should be more closely defined.
A great deal of our behavior is hardwired or is susceptible to some kinds of genetic explanations. After all, that's true of other animals.
Man has no nature,
Human nature really doesn't have much to it other than a few simple drives like hunger, thirst, and sex.
Are you a worrier? And if you are, do you worry about it? If so, you're a chronic worrier.
Worry about worrying. And so anxiety begins to spiral,
and lose control of the activity. And you'll soon find that if you try to worry more, the worry begins to disappear.
A philosophy that there are no good and bad personality characteristics. There are just differences, and it's about understanding how those differences impact on how we relate to one another.
Over the last few weeks, we've been testing the personality of our guinea pig.
It assumes the surreal self, and it assumes that self can be discouraged or encouraged by upbringing, the kind of work you do, the kind of people you associate with.
Uncontrollable and dangerous.
There are two types of belief about worry, positive beliefs and negative beliefs.
There are good dependencies and bad dependencies, good independencies and bad independencies.
Introversion or extroversion. You are either extroverted or introverted, so you are either one thing or another.
Worrying is normal. Most people worry. In fact, in one study that we conducted a few years ago on undergraduate students, we found that 79% of our students reported one significant and highly distressing worry over a two-week period. Worrying generates a potentially never-ending range of potential catastrophes.
Straws in the wind. Little breeze from the straws flutter around. But if you look at all the straws, you get a general idea of a pattern underneath.
You pass through your day completely absorbed in the details of what is where you're going to hold your hands, how the person opposite you is going to coordinate with you, the materials you have to bring them through. And then every once in a while, you step back and you realize there's a breathing person sitting here who you have said, I'm going to put you completely asleep, suspend you, your breathing, paralyze all your muscles, cut you open.
I must see a wrong way round.
Floundering followed by fragments of knowledge, followed by knowledge, and occasionally a moment of elegance.
The chemical rays, 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 the chemical rays.
Book of Revelations, fire-breathing lion's head, tail made out of snakes. Who else is it gonna be?
Jesus.
Oh, don't you kids know anything? The serpent of Rehoboam? The Well of Zohasadar? The Bridal Feast of Beth Chedruharizeb?
The Age of Miracles is not yet lost. Ain't it grand to be blooming real deep?
You've got the warrior blood in you of two common.
The paths of glory lead back to the grave.
God isn't dead, he's just an underachiever.
Lost for years and years, 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 years and years.
Those who live by the sword die by the sword, and those that live by the pen presumably also die by the sword.
I believe that we are born with a complex neural network, which I have called a neural matrix. It produces the sense of reality of our body, generally. I think our phantom is just a natural thing. Our
bodies extended in space. That's the way our brain is constructed. The neural matrix is a network of nerve cells in the brain that I believe is genetically built in, can be modified by sensory experience, and it forms the basis of our feelings of our body. This is me. I hurt. This is my pain.
The whole depression of the world had dropped out.
It's like I'm on some wonderful drug.
Not just one type of drug, more or less every drug there was. You're interested in what is. You're obsessed with what is. What made you think that? What you report on is what is. What isn't? You should be interested in what isn't. So that's what interests me. What isn't?
A giant fish. A fish. Breathe from the stream. Dark curves. The death rows on the edge of the line. What's this?
Light is important to us in two very different ways. Light provides us with both our sense of space and also our sense of time. Let me explain what I mean. Light reflects objects. Photons are bounced down an object, and we then use our eyes to detect that light. And that helps us build an image, which we call world vision.
One has to actually be a bit careful about choosing how much light to give and how fast is the light and other things like that.
Since these drugs are activated by visible light, that means that the drug that's in the skin is going to be activated if they're exposed to bright light. That's mainly the sun. But they're going to have to protect themselves.
Somehow, he has cobbled together a random assortment of other brainwaves into a working mind.
Look at me, Grandma. I'm a hippie. Peace, man. Groovy. Bomb Vietnam. 4 more years. Up with people.
Oh, what a good time. Whoa, I have it going on. I don't understand you. I don't know what you want. You're up to your own thing, and I must carry on with mine.
I'm such a beautiful, open mind.
He says, the worst thing was when I began hallucinating. I began seeing things. I began seeing people walking past me when there wasn't anybody.
I didn't want to be there, and I didn't want to deal with it, and I didn't want to say it, and I wanted to pretend that it wasn't happening.
I have taken the voyage out of my mind, into my head, into my cells, into my cells, into my cells, into my cells, into my cells.
By using psychedelic drugs, I became tuned in on a network of neurological signals and cellular wastes that radiate hundreds of millions per second within my body.
Why bother?
To put it plainly,
why bloody bother?
No time anymore, so I'm told. No time to plan, no time for second thoughts, no time to make it right, no time to let it grow.
Maybe there's something wrong with the universe.
Computer, what is the nature of the universe?
It's all perfectly logical to you, isn't it?
She is drawing through her tongue a thorned rope. This thorned rope is designed to draw blood from her tongue. And the drops of blood are falling then down into a receptacle containing sacred items and manuscripts.
The question is, how does the flux of ions in little bits of jelly in my brain give rise to the redness of red, the flavor of Marmite? Or mutton paneer, or wine. Matter and mind seem so utterly unlike each other.
An extreme adrenaline reaction associated with the fight-flight response. This is a primitive response which in nature is intended to help escape from a predator or real physical danger. Unfortunately, at the human level, one of the things that activates it is a fear of being socially humiliated or outcast.
To make a visual impact.
The unknown medieval English mystic said the cloud could not be pierced by the intellect, but only by sharp, dark light.
In one of the exorcists, the mystic also tells us
we cannot live with that cloud of unknowing unless we put a cloud of forgetting below us.
If ever you come to this cloud and live and work in it as I bid you, just as this cloud of unknowing is above you, between you and your God, in the same way you must put beneath you a cloud of forgetting, between you and all the creatures that have ever been made. It seems to you, perhaps, that you are very far from him, because this cloud of unknowing is between you and your God. However, if you give it proper thought, you are certainly much further away from him when you do not have the cloud of forgetting between you and all the creatures that have ever been made. Whenever I say all the creatures that have ever been made, I mean not only the creatures themselves, but also all their works and circumstances. I make no exceptions, whether they are bodily creatures or spiritual, nor for the state or activity any creature, whether these be good or evil. In short, I say that all should be hid under the cloud of forgetting. Scary old LSD, synthesized in 1943 by Albert Hofmann.
Sensory experiences.
In the 50s, the CIA had taken a long, hard look at LSD.
Paying volunteers to take the tablet and
put it to bed. Yeah, look, I can explain everything. Go ahead. Well, in the beginning, the universe was a huge, dense mass of all the things it now contains, squashed or rather drawn into itself, bound within an infinite blanket of antimatter or non-matter, or that which isn't bound by anything. And then, a sudden reverse of polarity, the positive becomes negative, the negative positive, and bang! All this held close is thrown outwards. Everything that is already out begins to rush inwards at the same time. Matter and antimatter hurtling past each other at infinite speed. The friction lights the stars and spins the planets.
Alors, là, c'est un... à l'époque de Rabelais, on consommait beaucoup d'œufs, peut-être plus que maintenant. Et là, j'ai choisi de vous faire des œufs pochés. C'est un petit peu ce qu'on appelle maintenant les œufs à la tripe.
The adrenaline reaction is also, unfortunately, in the English language, confused by the word nerves, because nerves describes the emotion of fear. But nerves also describes the nerviness or shakiness of the adrenaline reaction.
Be aware of the physiological symptoms, the increases in heart rate, blood pressure, sweatiness of the palms, butterflies in the stomach, those sorts of things.
You have to
realize that conscious experience is the whole wide world that you see, hear, touch, feel. Your brain is constructing that real world in a medium of conscious perception. The philosophers have coined the word quale in the singular, meaning a particular quality, or qualia in the plural, many qualities. So qualia means things like the color red, the sound of a high C on a violin, the smell of a rose, all of those things. Now, the hard problem of consciousness is that nobody at present understands how the brain creates that medium, how it creates qualia. Because the things that go on in the brain, as studied by neurophysiologists, are quite different. The way in which the brain communicates a message all the way from one part to another is by releasing packets of chemicals in the space between one nerve cell and the next. And of course there are literally billions of these cells and even more billions of connections. So you've got all of these electrical and chemical events going on in the brain, and nobody at present understands how any of those electrochemical goings on can give rise to, for example, the sound of high C on a violin. You can stop and think, what does that sound like, and ask yourself the question, and ask the same question again for the smell of a rose, or the colour red, or whatever you choose, and nobody has an answer to that question. That is the hard problem of consciousness.
Oh, Lordy, that is one surprising sight.
That is hideous.
Wait a minute. This is the prophecy.
The black mountains were invisible. I saw one white, brilliant, dazzling cloud.
You are listening to The Brain Song with DJ Frogs, the world's most unlikely DJ with the world's worst microphone, on Spirit Plants Radio, broadcasting around the world at spiritplantsradio.com. Turn on, tune in, and visit us on the web at spiritplantsradio.com for schedules, playlists, archives and more. Here's Tina C with some Shock and Awe.
Is that what you call a piano? Where's Whitney? Got a call early that year saying, Tina Hance, the president here. I said, hey, GB, what the hell's on your mind? He said, I said, well, don't worry about it. Find an auto cue. Read that and tell me all about it. He said, we got a brand new policy. It's simple and effective, like 1, 2, 3. What's that word? A rebrandiration of democracy. We're gonna apply it multilaterally across music, movies, and the military. I said, you're rocking my world, GB. What's it called? He said, Shock and Awe. Awe. United across America, Shock and Awe.
Just a thought.
Buy your laptop, get your DVD. Participate in the capitalist dream. Americans don't hate the world, we only have love. We need poor people to buy our stuff. Look at what we're selling, it's shiny, it's nice. It was made in the third world. The profits go stateside. Don't ask why, just sing along with the march of progress. America's song. And by the way, we own your DNA. Shock and awe. Awe. From rock stadiums to the theaters of war. Shock and awe. Awe. I am America, hear me roar. Well, my country, 'tis of thee. Hey, they're saying we're rich. They're saying we're greedy. They say our wealth's obscene. Uh-huh. But that's the American dream. I think they're wondering, ain't a dream supposed to end and life begin? Thank you, England. I love you.
Bernard Breslau, and You Need Feet.
I was standing in a crowded bus the other day when a pretty girl stood on my toe. And as I gazed into her eyes of blue, this thought kept running through my brain. You need feet to stand up straight with. You need feet to kick your friends. You need feet to keep your socks on and stop your legs from frying at the end. You need feet to walk to Scunthorpe or to dance the hoochie-coo. Yes, the whole world needs feet for something, and I need feet to run away from you. Yes, folks, have you ever stopped to think what wonderful things feet are? Have you? Think of all the things you can do with just one pair of feet. If you hear a lilting melody, you can tap them. If you lose your temper, you can stamp them. And when you get home after a hard day's work, you can soak them. Yes, folks, feet are not to be sniffed at. So whether you're rich or whether you're poor, put your best foot forward, keep your feet on the ground, look the whole world in the feet and say, you need feet to walk to Scunthorpe or to dance the hoochie-coo. Yes, the whole world needs feet for stomping, and I need feet to run away from you.
Here's a song from one of my favourite albums, William R. Strickland Is Only the Name, and it's If I Stand Here Much Longer.
If I stand on the corner much longer, it won't matter anymore. And sooner or later I will get tired, and I'll lay down on the floor. How do I get you out of my mind? When just like railroads, we've laid so many tracks behind. If I stand here on this corner much longer, sooner or later I'll get tired, and I close my eyes and I lay down and maybe I'll forget you for a while. Pretend that you're happy now, and I pretend that you don't love him, but it works out. And sometimes when you turn in your sleep, you think of me, but you're tired and you're bonded now. You gave your children security. What do you think of me?
To see us out, here's Moondog, and enough about human rights.
What about that right? What about that right? What about that right?